All right. Good evening, and thanks for staying so late. I saw a lot of people already leaving, so these are the brave ones that actually stay for the last sessions, the real hard, die-hard people. So we're gonna end the entire conference for you with a small tale, the tale of the tiles. And I'm going to take you to a 2D tile, a 2D tale. It's a difficult one to pronounce. To the tale of the tiles, introducing you to the problem, and then we're going to see a couple of solutions that we can introduce in our Windows 8 Store apps to build applications that have actually are being executed more by the users because of the fact that they are using tiles correctly. So this is me. I'm Gilles Kleren, working in Belgium at Ordina, and I'm also a Silverlight MVP and a Region Director. So doing lots of XAML already. I've been doing WPF, been doing Silverlight and Windows Phone, and now moved into the Windows 8 world. That's my blog, my email, and my Twitter. So if you want to download the slides, either follow me on Twitter or take a look on my blog, and you can find everything that I'm going to be showing you to you now. All right, so what are we going to do? So as mentioned, we're going to start the presentation with a small tale. It's going to be a very sad tale. It's going to be the tale of the application that no one used. And I'm going to show you a couple of solutions, a couple of ways to create applications that are being used more often using several ways of working with tiles and live updates. Then I'm going to show you the user experience that we can build from a user perspective and also the developer experience that we can have when we build tiles. And then the main block of the presentation is actually in the brewing activity part, in which I'm going to be showing you the code to create all those tile updates and batch updates, notification updates, secondary tiles, and so on and so forth. So that's, let's say, that's at least 70% of the presentation. We're also going to take a look at the power of the cloud. We're going to see how we can integrate with the cloud to combine tile updates. So we're going to see periodic tile updates and push notifications there. And if we have time, that depends a bit, we're also going to look at how we can use background tasks in combination with tile updates, so to see how we can use background tasks to actually also make an application a bit more interactive. It's not a very large group, so if you have any questions, please feel free. Small disclaimer, this morning, 10 minutes before the talk, my laptop crashed entirely. So after 10 minutes, it started again. I don't know what happened. So if it stops, then I'll have to use one of your laptops again. So. All right. So I'm going to start by telling you a small tale. I'm not very good. I don't have any kids, but I'm going to try anyway. So once upon a time, in a Windows installation far, far away, there was a very sad application, an application that actually no one cared about, and it was just standing there in the start screen. And the application had a lot of good content, but no one cared. No one knew that the application had good content because it was just a static tile standing there in the start screen. And over time, the application became very sad because no one started it. And all its neighbors, all the surrounding tiles in the start screen were actively being clicked and tapped, and our application wasn't. And the application became even more sad. And once on a horrible Friday afternoon in March, like today, the user decided that he needed some more space on the start screen. So he started uninstalling applications, including our little sad application, never knowing how much fun he could have had with the application, because the application wasn't capable of telling the user what interesting things it could be used for. The end. A very sad ending. That's not normal for a fairy tale, right? So we can maybe improve that fairy tale a little bit. If the creator, if the developer behind little sad application, the developer on the white horse maybe, would have created the application, it would have been a lot better because he would have known that he could have used lifestyle updates to create a more interactive application, an application that showed the user what interesting content it had to share. So let us not be Let us not be the next creator of little sad application, but let us be that developer on the white horse that actually creates applications that uses tiles to let the user know what interesting content it has to offer. So that is the tail, there we go again. That is the tail of the tiles. Now let us take a look at the options that we have to create a more interactive, a more alive application. What I'm going to show you is actually two things. There are several ways to let your application show what it can contain and what it contains and what it can show. There are several types of updates that we can use. And then, on the other hand, we can also do those updates. We can send those updates using several ways. I'm going to start first by showing you the types of updates we can use in a Windows 8 application. So this is a typical start screen. It's a slide from Microsoft that contains an overview of some tiles that are basically showing things that the application contains, like a next schedule appointment in your schedule, the playing song, photo updates of your contacts in your Facebook account. All these things can be shown on a tile. And you see on this slide here that there seems to be some pattern in the way that those updates are being created and are being shown. Some contain an image, some contain a few images, some contain just some text, some contain some bullets and text. Well, there is in fact a number of types of updates that we can actually show. There's a number of templates that Microsoft created for us as developers to use to update our tiles. And we're going to take a look at those templates in much more detail later on. Those tiles can, of course, also be active. They can show, for example, they can switch to other images, they can switch to other content. It is perfectly possible to switch, for example, between a tile that first shows an image and then switch to only text version and so on and so forth. What we also see here on this slide is that tiles can actually be in two sizes. You have the white tile, and you also have the square tile there on the right. And the last thing I'm going to show you here is that tiles can also contain what is known as a small batch update. And it's a small thing that you see here on the right corner of a tile. And it is sometimes an image, or a small image, as you can see there, or sometimes it is a number. Those are the two options for batch updates. So those are tiles and badges. Now, the thing is, a tile and a batch update only happens in the start screen. Sometimes you need to inform the user about something happening. And for that, you can use what is known as a toast notification. And the toast notification look quite similar to what you have on your tile, but they are shown as a little pop-up, let's say, as a toast notification on the top right of your screen. And also they look similar to the tile updates. They also contain some text, some image, or a combination of the two, as you can see here. And we're going to see that toast notifications can be used, for example, to notify the user about an incoming IM session, about an incoming phone call, and so on and so forth. When you need to inform the user about something that is more that needs his attention immediately, then you will be using a toast notification. Now, of course, we're going to take a look at how we can create those in our applications. The final thing that we can also do is use the lock screen. And we can make our application lock screen enabled by using a background task, which will also be able to either send a batch update to the lock screen, or if the application is selected as the most important one to show updates on that lock screen, an application can also show a tile update on the lock screen. And we'll take a look at how we can do that when we discuss background tasks in combination with tile and batch updates. So those are the different things that we as developers can use in our applications. Now, those are the different types of updates, let's say. Now, how can we issue those updates? There are several ways to issue those updates. We can do them directly. Directly means that we can do them directly from code, meaning that the application has to be running. In the case of the little sad application we started our presentation with, that would not have solved the problem, because those updates you can only issue when the application is running. So what you can then do is you're in your application code, the user starts your application and can then update the tile, he can update the badge, he can send a toast notification, he can also do some other things. Now, why would you use these types of updates? Well, for example, imagine that you're building a media player. You can use the tile to show the currently playing audio file. If you're building a reader application, you can say that maybe every time the user flips through the, to another page, we update the tile to show where the user was in the book that he was reading. The toast notifications are not very often used from the running code. For example, the store does it. When you install an application in the store will actually notify you using a toast notification that the installation was finished. That is an option where the toast notifications are being used in local code. We can also queue updates. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. We can also schedule updates from the local code so that the tile update will only happen after a number of minutes. Basically, we can set a specific time that the tile update will appear, and we can also let it expire. So then the code is the update is basically scheduled from running code, but we can make it appear only after a certain amount of time. And finally, we can also do lock screen updates. That's basically also from local code. In fact, that happens from a background task. We'll talk about that at the end of the talk. Then we can use the cloud. There's two ways that we can actually issue updates in combination with the cloud. We can send we can create a polling mechanism in the tile that will actually go out to a service and download a new tile update and send an updated tile accordingly. That is a polling system, and we're going to talk about that when we take a look at periodic tile updates. Next to that, we can also use push notifications. And push notifications, they allow us to send updates based on a background process, let's say, on the server side that wants to notify the connected clients about some interesting thing happening. And those basically really enable us to go around the one app limitation in Windows 8. And I mean, as mentioned, we can also use background tasks in general to update the tile, to send a batch update, and to create a toast notification. And we're going to take a look at that at the end of the talk. So those are the ways to issue updates. I'm going to very briefly show you the things. I assume that most of you have already seen Windows 8. So this is my Windows 8 installation. You saw immediately that some tasks start updating. For example, the Photos application, it is an application that queues a number of updates when I start the application. So that does an update from the local code. So as you see here, it flips through a couple of images. When I start it and I go back to my start screen, the next update will actually be another image. It is not one of those five queued updates that it does. There's other applications, like for example, the Bing application that you see here. The Bing tile is going out every day once to get the new Bing image of the day. And so that is, I think it is a polling update every 24 hours, might be 12 hours, I'm not sure. I can't check that. So it's going out every now and then to see if there is already a new Bing image update. Of course, it doesn't ask Bing for that update. It does that using XML, but we'll see that later on. Now, you see also the two tiles that you see below the Bing tile is that some applications don't really have the need to do an update. And in this case, I've made them small because I think those you cannot enlarge. Some tiles really don't have the need to show something to the user. In that case, that is basically a static tile or a basic tile that is just nothing more than, let's say, a shortcut to the application. And you also see that some applications, let's take a look, for example, the store here is notifying me that there are 8 updates waiting for me through the use of a batch notification. So it's saying that when I open the store, I'm probably going to see that I have 8 applications that need to be updated. So those are the different options that we have in combination with the tiles and the badges. I'm going to show you the toast notifications when we are discussing the toast notifications later on. All right. So now, what is the experience that we want to achieve using tile updates updates in general for the user? And also, how do we create them? What does the developer have to do to create those updates? Well, the thing is, it is pretty simple to do. And the user experience that you can achieve with creating those updates, those out-of-band updates, let's say, is actually quite large. Now, as you probably know, in Windows 8, at any point in time, only one application can run. That means that at any point in time, only the application that is currently the main application on screen and is taking up the entire screen is going to be executing code. All other applications are at that point suspended. If you use SnapView, then you will actually have two applications that are executing code, but in general, you will have one application in the foreground. That's the one that executes code. Now, if you want to do or let the user know about interesting things happening in your application, you can use a tile to basically go around that limitation. You can make sure that it may be integrating by, with the cloud or maybe using a scheduled update. You can let the user know on the tile something interesting that your application has to offer. The, let's say the goal of this is engaging the user in using your application again. So that user says, this seems like an interesting RSS feed that you're showing me now. I'm going to open your application again, and user is going to open that. Or imagine that you're building a Facebook client. You can use the tile update to show an update of your friends. Maybe using the cloud, maybe using a scheduled update, I don't know. We'll talk about that later on. The user, of course, can also use the tiles to basically personalize his start screen and his start experience. The user is probably going to pin applications to his start screen that have interesting things to say. I don't see a lot of users pinning applications to their start screen that don't really do updates. Many people use it to get that so-called glanceable experience. And the glanceable experience basically says, well, the user takes out his machine, opens his start screen, and sees the information that he needs. How many new emails do I have? What is the weather going to be like? And so on and so forth. So the tile is not only a way to launch an application, it is also a way to allow the application to extend itself and to show the user interesting things that he might be seeing when he's not when he's using the application. So, and of course for the developer as well, it is a way to go around the one app limitation as well. It is a way to let the user engage in using the application again. And it is also very simple to create those tile updates. While they look very good, it is actually pretty simple to create them because Microsoft created a template catalog for those tile updates, for those toast notifications and so on. It is really simple to create them without getting a designer on your team. And we're going to look at how we can do that. So in the next part, which is going to take quite some time, I'm going to discuss with you the possible types of updates that we can send and how we can also send them. So we're going to take a look at how we can create that activity. And I'm going to start by talking about activity by showing you how you can create an inactive tile. An inactive tile, let's say a basic tile, is the very simple thing that you can do. If you decide that your application is totally not interested or should not be interested in showing updates to the client, well, then you simply have to use a basic tile. In fact, every application that you create starts off with a basic tile. And a basic tile is, in fact, nothing more than an image that your application will show on the start screen, and that is basically the tile that you can tap and then launch the application. It is, in fact, nothing more than an icon on your desktop, but then on your start screen in this case. It is a static image that you create in and then include in your project. And in your application manifest, you have to point Visual Studio so that it uses those static images as the basic tile for the application. Now, as mentioned, every application, in fact, needs to have a basic tile because then when the application is installed the first time, that is the thing that is going to be shown. And in fact, that is by default also the thing that will stay there until the application is executed the first time because you cannot do any update before you have been executed the first time. Now, it is advised to use both a square tile and a wide tile, so including two images is advised. I'm going to go back to that in just a second. So do think that this is just a default. You can stick with that default, or you can make them show lifestyle updates, which we're going to come back to in just a second. One thing I forgot, sorry. The square is the default. So every application needs to include at least a square tile. Now, when you have decided that you also want to include a wide tile, Windows will actually, when your application is installed, take the wide tile. But if you have a wide tile, the user can and the user will always be able to say, this application can't use that much space, so I'm going to make it smaller. That's why you also you always need a square tile, but if you include a wide tile, then Windows will automatically pick up your wide tile. So square is the default, but if you have white, then Windows will treat the white tile as, let's say, the default that it will use. I'm going to quickly show you how you can create those basic tiles. Well, it is really pretty simple. I have the sample already open here. So it's a very simple application, as you will be seeing here. is basically more or less a hello world. Nothing to see here, it says itself. So I'm going to close this down, and I'm going to go back to Visual Studio. And in Visual Studio, in the application manifest file, this one, I can open that and I can start editing the manifest for this application. And in here, I have specified that my application has both a logo and a white logo. The logo is the square tile image that you want to create. The white logo is, well, the white tile that you have to create, or that you can create. So the square tile has to be a PNG file of 150 by 150 pixels. The white logo over here has to be 310 by 150 pixels. You cannot change those sizes. Those are the sizes that Microsoft requires you to use now. But that's it. That's what you have to do. And in fact, you should be doing that for every application. And that is what Windows will install your application with. By default, those are the tiles that you're going to be seeing. The application itself has this basic tile at this point. But I can, because I've defined a white tile, I can tap the application, I can select it, and then I can make it wider. And there you go. Now the application has a white tile, simply because I've included the two images. Now, as you can see, the image, the application is not doing much of an interesting thing here. It is basically, at this point, the little set application of the little tail we had. So let's now take a look at how we can make it show updates for us. So let's take a look at live tiles. So the basic tiles is just an image. Once we decide that in some or the other way, we want to start sending updates to our tile, we can do that. And then the application is basically using a live tile. Now, a live tile is pretty simple to create. As mentioned already, the entire system is based on a number of templates that Microsoft has created for us. I think it's about 48 templates for white tiles. Could be a bit more, could be a bit less. And there's also a number of available tile templates for the square tiles. In any case, the template is nothing more than a piece of XML. And you see sample tile update as a XML string on this slide. You see that at the very top, it simply says, well, I'm going to be a tile. In there, I have a visual tag, and then I'm going to have a couple of bindings. And what you see as well is that the bindings have a name, and that is the name that Microsoft created for that tile template. And then you specify a number of fields that Microsoft has also required for that specific template, which can either be a text or an image. And that's how you create your tile. I'm going to show you the XML in a bit more detail. So Microsoft has created quite a large set of available tile templates. So that also means that you have to stick to those templates. You can't really say, you know what, I want a tile that has a text, for example, in the form of an arc. That doesn't work. Now, it is in fact possible to do that by creating a dynamic image on the server and downloading that to the client. Then you, of course, can do whatever you want on that tile, but basically, the default way of doing it is using the tiles that Microsoft has created for you. Now, this, of course, means that we have to create XML, and creating XML is basically quite error-prone. It's quite easy to make a mistake there. If you make a mistake in that XML, well, the tile system will basically not understand what you're saying, and it will ignore the tile update. And that is why Microsoft also has in the SDK something called the Notifications Extensions Library. And that is, let's say, a wrapper around the XML creation. And I'm going to be using that. I'm going to show you the XML as well. But most of the time in my applications, I use the SDK to create my tile updates. So this is a schema in a bit more detail. So as you can see, the tile at the very top. Then I have the visuals. The visual. There can only be one visual. The version is one. The other parameters are not very often used. And then I have one or more bindings. And the binding can either contain text or an image or both, depending on the used tile template. The templates have a name, as you can see here in the binding. There you specify which template you're going to use, and then Windows is going to look for the relevant fields in the rest of the binding. Now, a live tile actually makes you, as mentioned, it makes you the designer. It is not necessary to hire a designer. The designs are created by Microsoft. You don't have to do a thing for that. The tile template Sorry, the tile itself, the tile update, can contain an image. It can be a JPEG or a PNG. A maximum is 150K. It actually took us a while to figure that out, that there is a limit on the file size. Do pay attention for that. We had updates that came through and other ones that came, that didn't come through because of the file size limit. Also, the file, the physical file size, the image size, is also limited to 800 by 800 pixels. And you can do those live tile updates by using a local tile update, a scheduled update, background tasks, or via the cloud. Yes, you had a question.
If you do it wrong, is there an easy way to find out what the reason was?
No. So the question was, is there an easy way to figure out what went wrong? No. The tile update simply won't appear. That's the problem. You don't see anything going wrong. Now, if you have to choose between using a square tile and a wide tile, this is certainly not a written law. In fact, I think for the applications that we've created so far, we always included the wide tile. Let's say that if you have something like a data entry business application, it might not be very useful to start introducing a wide tile and live tile updates. In general, if the application does use live tile updates, people will tend to use them in a wide tile scenario. But it is not, like I said, a written law. You have applications that do their square, that their updates in a square tile because the updates are very small, or they don't have any updates at all. That's basically how you should select if you have if you're going to use a square tile or a wide tile. But as mentioned, it's not certainly not a written law, so you can go either way with this. Most applications have both, but it is not a written law. Now, some best practices, use those live tiles in any case, because they are going to engage the user in opening your application much more, and therefore not ending up like the little sad application. A very important aspect here as well are the two last ones. Make sure that the updates that you're sending are ignorable. It might be so that the user is working the entire day in the desktop environment and therefore doesn't see your tile update. So make sure that what you're doing in the tile update is not, let's say, a life-threatening situation or a very, very important thing that you want to show there. Don't show him there. You've missed a call from your wife or something because it might have been hours ago. So that's not something that you should be showing in the tile. Also, it is not allowed to display advertisements in the tile. So don't go creating a Facebook application and then start pushing live tile updates in the tile that show some advertisements. That is not allowed. That is, of course, also a bit ambiguous. If you have an application for a store or something, then, of course, you can use the live tile updates to show promotions of your application. But, of course, they have to be relevant for the application. Let's take a look at how we can create those things now. So I'm going to close this demo, and I'm going to open the next one. So that's live tiles, this one. It's actually quite a lot of samples in this one. We don't have time to show them all, but you can download it from my blog afterwards. So I'm going to run it, and then we're going to jump to the code back and forth. Don't think it picked up. There we go. So here is our very nice-looking application. I'm going to start by sending a very simple text update. There we go. So if I want to send a text update, simply containing text, this is the XML that I will be sending. So in this case, I've selected a template, tilewide text 03, that requires one text field with ID number 1, and that is the tile update that I'm going to be sending. Notice that I have two bindings here. I am also including a square tile update. Why? Because if I use the wide tile and the user makes my application use a small tile, a square tile, well, then the update won't be shown. So you have to include both if you want to show the update for both squares. Sorry, for both tiles, for both the square and the wide tile. Now let's take a look at how I've done that. Now, as mentioned, I've used the notifications extensions library, which comes with the SDK. So if you download the samples, you'll find it in there. It is simply a wrapper around the XML in order to avoid writing all the XML code by hand. It's much simpler to use this than writing the XML ourselves. So let's take a look at the text update. How did I send that? So let's say text update over here, this one. A bit smaller. So I'm using classes of that notifications extensions library So I'm starting by creating the iTile white text 03, and I'm getting back that tile update, that template, let's say, by using the tile content factory, create tile white text 03. So for every template that Microsoft has created, there's a different type being implemented. And that type, in this case, this interface, requires that we include one text, that's the text with ID number 1 in the resulting XML, and I'm giving that my value that I want to update. As mentioned, for the white tile update, I should also include an update for my square tile, if relevant, of course. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm creating another tile update, in this case, a square tile update with the ID tile square text 04, and then I'm also giving some text, and then I use the tile content we created above, the one over here, and that has a square content property, as created by Microsoft in the library, and I set that to the square content. Finally, I use the tile update manager, create tile updater for application, and I pass it the tile notification in this case. And that is, in fact, not the library anymore. That is WinRT again. So in here, I'm saying tile update manager, create tile updater for application. And if you want to get back that XML, you simply use the tile content.getContent, the one over here, and that's going to retrieve the XML if you want to use it to display it or something. That's how simple it is. Let's take a look at using an image.
Did you send both in that one call?
Yeah. So the question was, did we send both in one call? And that's indeed correct. So it is just one XML, the one XML that we showed here. They'll send both. The library creates this particular XML, and the XML contains the two updates. Okay? Now, if we want to send an image, let's take a look. So I'm going to send an image. There we go, tile notification. That's the tile update that we're sending now, and it includes an image. In this case, it is an embedded image, and an image that I embedded inside of my application. I'm going to show you the web image in just a second. Now, it is very similar. It is, in fact, image update, local image update. That's the one. As you can see, the code is very similar. It is now the tile white image and text, which requires both a text and an image that we are passing to the tile. And if we, have I executed it? Yes. So if we take a look at the tile of the application right now, there we go. That is this red image that you see here that is now being shown here on the tile. There we go. If I now want to send a web image, I can also do that. I can pass a URI of an image. Let's open some browser. And let's select an image. Let's try this one. No, that's going to be too big, I suppose. Let's maybe use this one. Now, I'm going to give you a small disclaimer. This doesn't happen automatically. Sometimes you have to send it a couple of times or wait a few minutes before it actually appears. So let's try it. I'm going to send it in. So now passing. Whoa, this is a very long URI. I hope it's going to work. So I'm going to send this to the tile. So hopefully this will work. Let's do it again. And now let's go to the tile. And there we go. So you see the image appearing here inside of the tile. And this already, apart from the fact that the image is a bit too small, looks like it has a really professional feel for the application. It looks quite good already. All right. Let's go back to the slides. So those were our local live tile updates. Now, what we can also do, like the image application is, for example, doing, we can create a queue of updates. It is possible to create or to send more than one tile update. By default, that is not possible. As you saw, I created a new tile update, and I sent that to the tile, and the previous tile update was gone. So the default is, in fact, that one tile update will always replace the previous one. Now, you can enable a queuing system, and a queuing system allows you to queue up to 5 updates for a particular tile for your application. So Windows will then flip through them randomly. It is not possible to say to Windows, well, this one should be shown half of the time, and the other 4 should be shown, let's say, the remaining 12.5% of the time. That is not possible. You don't have control over the way that your tiles in the queue are going to be displayed. It's only possible to say to Windows, these are the tile updates I want you to show, and it will flip through them randomly. Now, how does the system work? Well, it's actually based on a system of tags. You send to the tile 5 different tags, and each tag will have a corresponding lifestyle update. And those are basically in a small queue. If you send a 6th tag, then the oldest tile will actually be removed. If you want to update one of the particular tags, well, you send that same tag and you send new XML and it will update it for you. Let's take a look. I'm going to take a look in just a second. What you can also do is sending scheduled updates and expiring updates. So by default, a local tile update will never expire. You send it and it stands there until the end of time. It is possible to add, however, an expiration date on your tile, which basically says to your tile, well, you should be showing this update from starting now, and when this particular date time offset has expired, remove the tile update and go back to the previous one. It is also possible to add or to create a so-called scheduled tile update. And a scheduled update will basically say to Windows, in fact, don't show the tile update right now, but show it only perhaps in 1 hour, when the application might not be running anymore. So then your update or your tile will be scheduled, and you don't use the regular classes for that. You use a scheduled tile notification and use the tile updater.add to schedule, passing in your scheduled tile notification, and it will only show after a certain amount of time. Before we go by the demo, the final thing I'm going to show you here is secondary tiles. It is possible for an application to create more than one tile. Not upon installation, but from the running application, you can create more than one tile. So initially, an application will always have one tile. But it is possible to, in your application, create some button or I don't know what, that allows the user to create a secondary tile, a new tile for your application. And you can create as many as you want. Now, you can see the secondary tile, let's say, as a sort of shortcut into the application, so that when the user clicks on something, he automatically is taken to a particular location in your application. The best sample I can give you here is like a weather application. Instead of having just one weather tile pinned to your start screen, you can say, well, I travel to these and this city quite a lot, so I'm going to pin those cities to my start screen. What I can then do as a developer is allow the user to actually say, well, you can pin those particular, or you can create new tiles of this application, passing in, for example, a city that I want to pin to my start screen. And this allows the user to get, let's say, a personalized view in your application. It is not possible, however, as a developer to initially say, I want to create more than one tile. And it is also not like a web page that you're going to bookmark for the end user. The developer has to open a particular location up as, let's say, a hook to create a secondary tile, and then the user has to opt in. So it's, let's say, a two-way street to get it to work. The typical samples for this is a weather application, an RSS application, a Facebook application that allows you to pin a particular contact to the start screen, allows you to get updates for that particular contact. Those are the typical things that you can use secondary tiles for. Let's take a look at the code for all these. So I'm going to start by showing you, the expiring update first. So I'm going to send an update that is going to expire in 10 seconds. So we're going to stare for 10 seconds at that secondary tile here. So there is the update. And after a couple of seconds, the previous tile will be shown again. There you go. It lost the tile update with the web image. I don't know why, but there we go. Made a mistake, probably. So normally, yeah, there we go. So it's now again showing the previous tile update. Now, it is also possible to create a queue of updates. I'm going to enable the notification queue. It's probably that it was still on, and now I have a bit of a problem because my screen is a bit too full with explanation. Let me quickly change this. So let's go to the queue updates. Notification queue, this one. Let me remove this text box over here. It's dangerous changing a demo on stage. Let's try it anyhow. Not sure if I deleted everything I needed to delete, but let's hope. Yeah, there we go. So what am I going to do here is I'm going to send to the tile a number of updates. So I can in fact send 5. So I'm going to send test 01. That's my tag. That's basically the tag for the update. And then I'm going to pass in the text I want you to show. Hello, one, send that to my tile. Second tile is going to be test 02, and it's going to be hello number 2, and some extra text so we see it a bit more clearly. Send it. And now let's take a look at the tile. So first we get hello number 2. Again, it is totally random. You don't know what's going to be shown first, and now it should switch after some time to hello number 1. And the previous one should now be the hello 2 again. So that's how I can basically send a couple of updates to my start screen. I can also, I'm going to show you the code in just a second, I can also create an, I've shown you the expiring updates already, sorry. So let's go to the slides and to the code again. So let's take a look how we doing, how am I doing the queue in this case. So queuing, you first need to enable. And you enable the queuing by calling the tile update manager, create tile updater for application, enable the notification queue, passing in true. So then the queuing is enabled. This will make sure that Windows is not deleting the previous tile update, but it's using that queue to make sure that we can show a number of updates. The rest of the tile update that you're sending is the same, apart from the fact that you also need to pass in the tag. And that was that text 01 or test 01 that I passed in. That is the ID for that particular tile update. I can update a particular tag. If I pass in the sixth tag, then it will remove the oldest one. That's how it works. And now let's create, I forgot to show you secondary tiles. I know I was looking for something. So let's take a look at how we can create secondary tiles. So a secondary tile can be created in the application if the developer opens it up. So it is not that the user says, here I want a secondary tile. If the user hasn't opened it up there, well, it's not possible. But user also has to agree. So when you do that, it's going to be attached to some user interaction. For example, clicking on a button, probably in the app bar, that user says, I want to add a secondary tile here. So I'm going to say that when I click on this pin to start button here, this secondary tile is going to be created. It is not shown automatically. It is not possible for you as a developer to say, I'm going to create secondary tiles every time the user passes my start button. I don't know what. It is not possible. The user has to see this particular UI that you see here that you have to call. And when the user only says pin to start, only then your secondary tile is going to be created. So I can click here on that pin to start. And then I can start scrolling in my start screen. I've done quite a few demos, as you can see. Normally, it is somewhere in here. It's probably overwritten the previous one. So you should believe me that it is in here. Probably put it somewhere else, but I'm not going to bother you with looking for that secondary tile. It says that it was successfully pinned, which is the response from Windows coming back, so it should actually be there. Let's take a look at the secondary tile code. That is a bit different, that code. So let's take a look here. What am I doing here? Secondary tile, pin secondary tile, that's the one. So the secondary tile code, as mentioned, is a bit different. When I click on that pin to start button, I'm going to first create my secondary tile. I'm passing in a couple of logos. I'm also passing in an activation argument. Now, an activation argument, what is that? I can attach to the tile a string, a context. Assume that you're a weather application. You don't want that when the user taps on the secondary tile of London, that he arrives at the default page in your application. Now, you automatically want to take him to another place in your application, to another city, another RSS feed, I don't know what. And you can do that using these tile activation arguments. It is basically nothing more than a string that I pass, and that will actually be read out at application startup, and you can automatically navigate the user to another place in your application. Then I create a secondary tile. This is, by the way, also not part of the notifications extensions library. This is just WinRT code. I create a secondary tile. I pass in the tile ID, the text I'm going to show, the tile activation arguments, the logo, and so on and so forth. Then I have to call that specific UI, and that I can create by saying secondary tile request create for selection async. Then I pass the rectangle that I have to create myself, and that is going to contain the UI that is defined by Microsoft to create that tile, and that is going to return me a boolean. And to prove you that I was not lying, it has returned a true, which said that the secondary tile was successfully pinned. So it had arrived on my start screen, although we couldn't find it, but it was really there. All right. Let's go back to the slides for a minute. What you can also do, again using a template system, is create badges. The badge was that small overlay you saw on the tile on the start screen. And the badge is, in fact, nothing more than that. It is, let's say, an extra piece of information that you attach on the tile. It can be two things. It can either be a number between 0 and 99. If you pass it in 100 or 120 or I don't know what, it's going to say 99 plus. Or you can use one of the predefined glyphs created by Microsoft, and they are living in an enumeration. So you cannot say, I want to use my own image there. No, you have to use one of the predefined glyphs that Microsoft has created for you. It is also XML. It is a very simple XML. It's just batch, pass in a value of an enumeration. Either of these two you can do. And then that will automatically update your batch. Let me show you that. So I still have it running. There we go. Let's take a look at the batch update. So what type are we going to do? Let's use the glyph now. And let's say we are playing something. Send that batch notification. This is the XML that is now being sent to my tile. Value is playing. Notice here. There you go. Now you see the tile showing the playing symbol over here in my tile. It is, by the way, it is probably still doing the tile of this because some queuing is still enabled on the tile. But, I should disable that now, but let's leave it for now. So that is how I can do that. The batch is in fact also part of the notifications extensions library, as you can see here. You see here the batch contents. That is the class that contains everything that you have to do with batches. So I'm not going to create the XML myself, but I'm going to do it using the notifications extensions library. So how do I do it? Well, I have two methods here, the update batch with number or the update batch with glyph here at the bottom. We use this one, I think. We use the glyph. So we have this class called the batch glyph notification content. And then I'm simply creating, that is WinRT code, this line here, the batch update manager dot create batch updater for application. And to that, I pass my batch content dot create notification. That's the one. And that's going to create that XML for me, send it as a batch batch content notification to my tile, basically. And that will update the tile with that small batch. All right. Now, the batch updates, as well as the tile updates, they happen in the start screen. The user is not guaranteed to see them. It might take him a day before he sees it. If you're working in the desktop, you will not see it before you come back to your start screen. And therefore the tile updates and the batch updates are not good candidates to use in combination or for your information that is really important for the user to see. If he has an incoming phone call, it's not very good to put that simply in a tile. It's probably going to be missed by the user. So that is why the toast notifications exist. A toast notification can be delivered outside of the context of the application. So no matter what the user is doing, it can even be in the desktop, a toast notification will always show up as a small overlay on the screen, always in the right-hand corner. It is gonna be more intrusive because the user is going to be doing something else and your application is basically popping up. That is going to be annoying for the user if your application is gonna do that too many times. So don't spam the user. In fact, the user can disable the showing of toast notifications for your application, or it is even possible to disable that altogether so that the user will never see any toast notifications. So even if you are sending it, it is not guaranteed that the user will see it. At this point, Windows doesn't have a notification center to show missed updates. So keep in mind that the user might as well, even if you're using a toast notification it might still be missed by the user. Now, a toast notification is, again, also XML. The same goes for the toast notifications as goes for the tile and batches. It's XML. So you have the toast in this particular case containing a visual, containing a binding. And one extra piece that we have here is the one here at the bottom, and it is the audio element. It is possible to create two types of toast notifications. Either you create a regular toast notification and let it play its default sound, but it is also possible to create another sound on your tile, not a custom sound. You cannot say, I want to use this particular MP3, but there is an enumeration of possible sounds that you can use in your application to play when the toast notification is being shown. And there is also a loop property here, a loop attribute here, that is a true, either true or false. It's a Boolean. And that actually is directly related to the two types of toast notifications that we have. So the default toast notification is just showing for 7 seconds on the top right hand of your screen. And it plays a brief sound, and that is perfect for a new email notification. But if you want to grab the user's attention really, then you can use a long-running duration toast, or long-duration toast. That will actually play 25 seconds, and it can contain looping audio. So that is perfect if you have an incoming phone call or an incoming IM conversation or something like that. That is where you would use a long duration, and you simply create that by setting this loop on that audio element to true. That will automatically make sure that the sound will keep playing and that you're creating a long duration toast. You can also pass context to the toast notification, just like you could do it for secondary tiles. You can also say when a user taps on this particular toast notification, you will automatically go to this particular page. Also, the information that you're going to put on your tile should be, let's say, limited. It is, of course, limited because of the fact that the toast can only contain so much characters. But think of this, the toast is what the user will see in a glimpse. The user sees, this is now happening in some application. It has to be, again, glanceable. User needs to get just enough information for him to decide whether or not he's going to react to the tile update happening in your system. Let me show you the toast notifications. So, let's go to, and let's first run it. That might be the best to do. So, I'm going to start by showing you a text notification. There we go. That is a toast notification. In this case, it just contains one line of text. There's, of course, several templates with some more and some highlighted text and some more extra lines of text. How do we create this? Well, let's take a look. So I'm going to create a toast message. I'm going to create a very simple toast. And that was a text toast, of course, this one. Well, let's go to the top over here. And again, I'm using classes that are living in the notifications extensions library. I use the iToast notification content based on the type of button that I've clicked. I'm going to send a different XML. In this case, the very simple one is the iToast text 01. And that requires one line of text. And then we set that template content as the content of the toast notification. Finally, we go down here and we specify that we want to use the toast notification manager and say create toast notifier, passing in the toast that we want to show. I'm going to show you a couple of other updates. So we can also use an image in there. And we can also, I'm going to skip the image. I'm going to show you the long duration toast. That seems more interesting. So you can either switch sounds for the short durations, as you see here. Yeah, if you play them too quickly, they don't play. Also, as you see here, there's only place for 3. It's not that your entire screen is going to be full of tile up toast notifications, only 3. So if I send it a couple of times, so after 7 seconds or so, the other one is going to start fading out, and then the other one is popping up. So you can really annoy the user by sending too many, of course. And it's probably going to end up locking your application out of toast notification usage. And you can also create a long duration toast with looping audio. So see here. So this is perfect to let the user know, well, we have an incoming phone call. As mentioned, it is not possible to pass your own MP3 file or WAV file or whatever. You have to stick to the sounds that Microsoft has included. I really hope that would change in the future, but I'm not sure if that will happen. But that would be a nice feature to have on your tiles. I'm not going to show you the code. It is basically more or less the same as we had for the other tile updates. So those are the types of updates that we can send. And I've shown you all the samples now in combination with local issuing of the updates. It was all directly sent from code. It is, however, for some updates also possible to integrate them with the cloud. And we're going to take a look at those things now. So there's actually two ways of using the cloud for your updates. And those two ways are either periodic updates or push notifications. A periodic update is a very simple one. It is, in fact, nothing more than saying to Windows, well, Windows, this is my tile, and over there I have a service that is going to return that same templated XML. I want you to schedule to do a polling every now and then to go out, download the XML, and use that as my tile update. It is, in fact, what the Redder application in Windows is doing, I suppose. I don't really know for sure, but that's what the Redder application could do in any case. You go out to a service every, let's say, 1 hour or so for a Redder update, that should be enough. So you're going to go out to that service, and that is going to return you the new XML containing the new Redder forecast. This is great for distributing updates with a wide audience that don't need the real-time aspect. If you are building a breaking news application, this is not going to cut it, because the smallest polling interval is 30 minutes. It might be so that the breaking news needs to be sent to a client, to the consumers, much faster than waiting at least 30 minutes. So how do you go about creating this? Well, you should start by creating a service that is going to create XML. The same XML as we've seen in the local tile updates, but now returned from a service. Do pay attention that you're returning an XML string, not a SOAP message. This will mean that your methods on the server will require you to send something back in the form of an X element instead of a string, because otherwise WCF, for example, will wrap it in a SOAP message. It doesn't support tile queuing, by the way, as well, so it's not possible to pass that tag along, so you can only use a periodic tile update for one update. And as mentioned, it is not a perfect scenario for breaking news, because the smallest amount of time, the smallest time frame you can use is 30 minutes. Let's take a look. So I'm going to, let's close this one down. I'm going to shut the sound down as well. So let's go to periodic tile updates. So I have two applications now. Over here, did I open? Oh, sorry, I opened them in a solution. So I have two projects in my application now. So this is my Windows 8 application, and this is my service. Let's take a look at that service first. So I have this weather service, which is going to return an XML string. So what I've done here, I've pasted in the XML created by Microsoft as on my server side. This is my XML. I'm going to go in that XML and change a couple of values. That would be my Redder forecast in this case. So in here, I'm going to create, using X elements classes and stuff like that, the new XML. And I'm going to return that, not as a string as mentioned in the slides, but I am going to create, I'm going to return this as an X element. This ensures that that XML is going to be returned, not wrapped as SOAP or in a SOAP message. Simply doing some XML replacements over here. Now, in my application, as mentioned in the slides, your application needs to do one thing. It needs to schedule the updates, and that's it. For the rest, Windows will take over. Let's take a look. I'm going to run it. What I'm now going to do is, this is the service I've created over here. That's my service endpoint. It's a very simple WCF service. And I'm going to pass this URI to my Windows 8 application. In fact, I'm going to pass it to Windows so that Windows knows where to pull for the next tile update. And I'm going to pass it a recurrence. And that recurrence is the timeout, let's say, for a new polling that it has to do. It can only do these time frames, these periods. Every 30 minutes, every hour, every 6 hours, every 12 hours, or daily. Those are the only options. You cannot say, I want to poll every 37.5 minutes. That is not possible. Why? I don't know. Maybe that it's aligning all those updates that you have on your system. I don't know. It should be one of these that you select for your update. Of course, if your server side only provides a new update every day, don't go polling your service every 30 minutes. That's quite logical, because then you will create an unnecessary load on your server side. And then when I say start polling, then it will actually go out to my local URI and start polling every 30 minutes or so. Let's take a look at the code for this. It is, in fact, very simple to create this thing. The only thing I have to do is I have to tell Windows, you know what, I want you to go polling that particular update. So first I get the selected recurrence, and then I use the tile update manager, create tile update for application, that's the same thing. But then I don't say update, I say start periodic update. And I pass in the URI and also the recurrence. And from then on, it is Windows that does it for me. Even if my application is not used for days, this thing will keep on running, will keep on polling that service for a new tile update. That's really cool because it's very simple to actually create this thing. All right? That is a very simple scenario to create updates that you don't do from your local code. Now, as mentioned, they are not covering scenarios like breaking news or letting the user know something that really has to be done, like an incoming phone call, for example. What you should use for those, maybe, could be a solution, is push notifications. You probably already have heard about push notifications. Push notifications are, in fact, also used in Windows Phone and work in a very similar way. Now, what is a push notification? It is, again, the same XML that will be pushed from a server side to the client. And it is based on something called WNS. And WNS is Windows Notification Services. And Windows Notification Service is a part is a service written by Microsoft that is responsible for, let's say, locating the device that will actually want to receive the update. It is a very transparent system to work with for the developer because everything is done by Microsoft for this. Not everything, but quite a lot. And it really allows us to find the device, no matter where it is, and send an update from a server side. This really gets us around that one app limitation. Because you can do things like incoming phone calls, you're gonna get them probably via server side, and you can push a notification to the client, letting the client know through a toast notification, well, you have an incoming voice message, you have an incoming phone call. So you can use this push notification system for many possible scenarios. And it's also free. It doesn't cost you a thing to use it in your application. We have actually used it in an application that has a very high number of users, and it is very fast. If you use Windows Azure for your server side as well, I'm going to show you that in just a second, the amount of updates that you can send per second is amazing. It goes really, really fast, and it is perfectly scalable because it's completely built in Azure, so it's really handy to also use Windows Azure for your server side that you'll be needing. And it really scales to hundreds of thousands of users, even millions of users, without any problems. And let's take a look at how this actually works. So of course, it integrates with the cloud. So we have two building blocks, the client side and the server side. On the client, your application will actually communicate with something called the client notification platform. And the client notification platform is part of Windows, and it will be the thing that your application communicates with to get like a permission slip to do the updates, to receive those local tile updates. It will receive that permission slip in something known as the channel URI. So the channel URI, as the word says it, is a very long URI. It is a URI, it's a perfectly valid URI, and it is the identification for your device with your application for that particular user using it at that point. So it's a unique identification combining the device, the application, and the user. That is received in your application, and that is the ID that your application has received to be notified by. So that's that channel URI, you should send that to the server side, to your server side. You need to create a server side in this case, a service that accepts that channel URI and maybe stores it in some database. Because there's going to be hundreds of thousands of users using your application, all registering with the client notification platform, and you have to know which are the registered applications or which are the registered devices. At some point, on the server side, something will happen, a backend event, and that is going to trigger the service that it wants to send an update to all connected devices. So your service is going to communicate, is going to retrieve all the channel URIs from the database, And then for every ID it finds, it is going to do a post to WNS containing the XML, also containing some authentication. And WNS is then taking all of the locating of the device away from you. It is from there on completely transparent for the user or for the developer. And it's going to send that templated XML to the client notification platform. And that is going to result in a tile update or a toast notification or a batch update. You can, in fact, do all types of updates using push notifications. Yeah. Now, for this to work, your application needs to be registered in the store. It does require you to put your application in the store because otherwise your application cannot be authenticating, or your server side, let's say, cannot be authenticating with WNS. It is not possible to do that otherwise. So it doesn't require your application to be published in the store, but it requires your application to be registered in the store. Because what you need for this to work are two IDs, something called the package security identifier, or the SID, and the client secret. These two things you really need. Yeah, there was a question over there. You mean, what if I send something to that? Well, that's completely blocked off, that's completely ignored on the server side. It is not going to be... You mean creating a... So you mean...
So I have this long URL.
Yes.
And I am allowed to send messages using this URL.
No, so... You mean your server side, can it send anything else than that XML over WNS, you mean? That's what you mean. No, because your application first, your server side first, needs to authenticate using these two things with WNS, and only then WNS will allow you, your server side, to post to your clients. And it is, in fact, totally in the hands of Microsoft that the post will actually be done. Microsoft is communicating from here, from the WNS part, to the client notification platform. And if you send anything else than a templated XML, it's not going to work unless you use raw notifications. And we're going to see that if we have time. Was that? Okay, yeah. So you can also send a non-XML string, a pure string, but just only a string, if you use raw notifications. I hope we still have time for that. There was another question over here. Between? This is only requiring you to register in the store. It doesn't require you to publish it in the store. Because once you have registered it, once you've reserved the application name, you can go to another tab in the store registration process, and then you can register your application and you register it, so not publish. And you get these two IDs, you copy them into Visual Studio, and from then you can continue testing. It does require you to have a store account, however, yes.
So for a scenario where you have an enterprise client business app,
it
doesn't get published in the store?
No, it doesn't get... I don't know. So you mean if you use a private store? I don't know.
Side loading?
I don't know. No. That's a good question, though. You work at Microsoft. No, I don't know. It's a good question, though. I haven't done any side loading things. We have consumer applications that we've built, but they're all in the store. So, all right, let me show you this. So it is not a lot of code. There is some code that needs to be written, but it is still pretty simple considering what is going on behind the scenes. So let's take a look at push notifications. So I have two applications. I have my client side and my server side. All right. So what I'm going to do, and so I'm going to first run it. I'm going to try if it works here. So this is my Windows 8 application. And I'm going to start by getting the channel URI. That's this one. And as you can see, it is quite a long string, entirely created by the cloud notification platform. My application gets it in. There we go. It's quite long. As you can see, let's copy this. So this is my application. It has now created the channel URI. As you also see here, it is valid. That is probably not readable for you. This channel URI is valid until the 7th of April. And this today, I think the 8th of March. Yeah. So it is valid for 1 month. Yeah. So a good tip here is every time the application is starting, get this thing again. Do this call. It will actually refresh the window of 30 days. Because after 30 days, this channel URI will really expire. So you can't use it anymore. So what I do is every time that my application starts, I get this channel URI again, I send it back to my service, and boom, that window of 30 days keeps moving forward. So I have this channel URI now. I copied it. I'm going to close the application, really showing you that the application doesn't have to run at all. So that's my client. Now let's take a look at the server side. My server side is, in fact, a WPF application. So we're now in, if you take a look at the slide, we're now here. I can't show this with the entire setup. I'm going to show it by simply copy-pasting that channel URI in a service, let's say. And that service is, in this case, my WPF application. And it contains here the client secret and the SID that I have for my application. You can copy them. It doesn't matter. It's simply a test application. So it will work if you use for another application as well. So I'm going to pass in the channel URI here. That's the channel URI, valid for 1 month. And I'm going to send a message to it. Whatever. I'm going to send a toast message. That's going to be the most easily visible. And let's hope it works. So there we go. It's now going out. There we go. It's already there. So what has now happened? So my server side, this application, has gone to WNS. It has actually sent a post message to WNS. And then WNS has located my device and sent over this channel URI, basically, that XML message. Now, behind the scenes, what is happening is that, as I have understood it, and I've done some reading about it, as I've understood it, every Windows 8 device keeps open, let's say, it creates an open socket to WNS, shared between all applications that actually use push notifications. And so whenever WNS needs to locate the device, it has, let's say, an open socket directly into my device. That's how I have understood that it works. It is, in fact, shared between all applications. And I've sent a toast. So I've sent some XML down the line. And there we go. We can send it as many times as we want. All right. Let's take a look at the code for this. So that is this one in this case. Yeah, there we go. So the first thing I need to do is I have my my authentication, let's say, with WNS. So for that, I'm using this WNS authentication get access token method, passing in the client secret and the SID, the two values I got back from the store. So what I'm doing then, and let's make this a bit smaller here, because this otherwise won't fit. So what I'm going to do is, this is in fact copied from MSDN. This is not something that I've written myself. I'm not that smart. So what I'm going to do, and that's actually what's happening here, what your server side first needs to do, it needs to send a request to a particular URI, and then you're going to get back a token, and that is your authentication token. Pretty simple what it does, actually. So it's going to send a message to this particular string here that I'm building up, as you see here, defined by Microsoft. You cannot change it. You pass in your SID and your client secret. And then you're going to, you also have to include a header. And then you're going to using the web client, you're going to basically send the request to a particular URI. You attach that string that you've created here to this thing over here. And then you write to that, and you're going to get back a JSON string, and that I'm going to pass here, and I'm going to build up this OAuth token thing here, and it's a custom class that has two properties, the access token and the token type. And this now, at this point, if I run this code, my application is authenticated with WNS. My server side is authenticated with WNS. Now my client is now going to, after that, doing the following. So now I have my authentication. Now I can start sending the XML. So I'm doing the same thing, but now server-side. I specify that the type is a toast message. We are actually sending it a toast message. It has XML. That's the XML again, defined by Microsoft. I pass in my own values. And then I'm going to convert that into an array of bytes. Then I'm going to say, I'm going to create a rep request to the channel URI, the identification URI. I'm going to do a post to that of XML values. I have to pass in a couple of authorization headers. This contains, in fact, my access token, so that WNS knows that I'm, in fact, authenticated. And that's it. Then I simply have to say over here, write to that request stream, the XML. So I'm doing now a post to WNS, and WNS is then taking over. And it's going to locate the device, and it's going to send that XML string, showing up my toast notification. A question I get often when I'm telling this is, my client application showed the OK. That is, in fact, the OK that WNS is sending back. WNS is going to send back, OK, I've received it. I will now continue locating the device for you. It is not a guarantee that the client has actually received this. That would take too much time. Like I've said, this is capable of doing hundreds of thousands of calls in a matter of seconds or minutes. It goes very, very fast, that writing to WNS. It would not be possible to wait for a response from the client. So the OK, the response that you're getting back, is just WNS saying to you, I've received it. OK, continue. So it seems that I'm already out of time, so I can't really show the background tasks anymore. I'm sorry for that. So I'm going to have to round up here. If you want to take a look at the slides, I'll show you my blog in just a second again. So the very important lesson here is that tasks are not to be forgotten in Windows 8 application development. They are new. There's something that we didn't have to do before, but they really enable us to build applications that will be more engaging and more alive looking to the end user. And of course, if you want to really use the power of the tasks, also integrate them with the cloud. And as mentioned, take a look at the slides if you want to get some more information on the background task options that we also have. So with this, I'd like to open it up for questions, if any. Otherwise, I want to thank you for being here. I hope I've shown you a few interesting things in relation to tasks. So if you want to download everything, I'm going to show you that as well. Over here is the information if you want to download things. And with that, I'd like to close it. Wish you a good weekend. Hope you had a very good conference. And thank you for staying so late. Thank you. No questions? No? Okay. Have a great weekend.